We are in the midst of a terrible drought here in Spain, my friends. And that's saying a lot because Spain, in general, is a very dry country, or tends to be a dry country, especially in the lower two-thirds. The very north is still quite lush and green, though the locals say it's been very dry there. But I can personally attest to the better weather up there. We just got back from Asturias a few days ago, and it was cloudy and even rainy. Not all day, but every day we got some rain. But in the rest of the country, for the most part, it's a totally different story. I can't quite recall a summer being as wickedly arid as this one, at least in Madrid. And trust me, I've seen some pretty dry summers. Summer in Madrid in general is dry, but this is taking it to another level. The lack of precipitation started early, and it's still going on. It's reportedly the driest since 1950, and I can believe it. Since January, it was a dry winter for the first 2 months. Then, thank God, we got some relief in March. It was actually quite rainy then. And the first half of April wasn't bad, and things were actually looking good. It looked as if everything was picking up and we were going to do better. But then all of a sudden, it was as if someone just turned off the tap. And pretty much since Easter, it hasn't really rained again, if you ignore a couple of minor storms. And there doesn't seem like any relief in sight, at least in the near future. On top of that, September is historically a dry month too. So we may have to wait and see when that rain is finally going to come. Now, as I was telling you, Spain has never been, for the most part, a damp country. And it is no stranger to extended dry spells, which is why it is in the top 10 in the world in terms of number of dams. There are over 1,000, that means reservoirs, which is a heck of a lot for a country this size. Now, the number of dams as a plan for ensuring a workable water supply for the country was traditionally a source of pride for the Franco regime and its proponents. Now, some historical revisionists have questioned that assertion because the Hydro Reserve Plan was conceived before that, actually well before Franco came into power. But it is true that his government, his dictatorship, did go ahead with the plan and increased the reservoir capacity from a meager, almost pathetic 4,133 hectoliters in 1940 to nearly 38,000 hectoliters at the time of his death in 1975. That is a heck of a rise, and they haven't stopped since. They continue to build more reservoirs and dams, and the capacity is now up to nearly 60,000. But the problem is, if it doesn't rain, after a while, it doesn't matter how much capacity you have if there's nothing there to fill it with. But it does help, as we will see. Anyway, the debate is, and this is a debate that's around the world nowadays, is whether or not this is something related to the current climate change, especially man-induced climate change, as many feel, or is this a recurring problem throughout history? After all, some might argue, if this is the driest summer since 1950, well, that means that 72 years ago, it was quite dry and capable of being dry. And there is something to say for that, but obviously we have to look at trends more than just one year. So anyway, let's take a look at the history a little bit and analyze, because it's pretty interesting here. Not just knowing about when these droughts occurred, but also about how they know about them. Now, as I was telling you, Spain has always been a dry country. Just how dry has been hard to say at times, especially before the 18th century, when they didn't have the instruments for specific data, and they didn't have data to record, basically. But there are ways of knowing that something was up. One is a classic, the tree ring analysis. You know, what they do is cut a tree. A living tree is preferable because it will allow you to know when the last year was, and then you can go backwards from then. And this is a technique that's used around the world. I think the tree ring system is that if the ring is thicker, that means there was more precipitation. And if the ring is really thin, or if you have two or three very thin rings together, that might suggest an extended period of dry weather, or a drought, in other words. And in Spain, for example, there was this one study that determined that since 1694, this country has suffered from at least 36 extremely dry years. And that comes to an average of about one every 9 years, which, if you think about it, is pretty frequent. And we're not even counting very dry years or dry years. And there must have been plenty of those, too. So that's one way of looking at these things. Then you have chronicles, records, and stories and histories, memoirs, which obviously may be a little bit suspect in terms of their veracity, but in many ways it provides us with some information about weather patterns. The earliest recorded mention of a drought in Spain was during the Roman period, between the years 20 and 30 AD, or CE, if you prefer that term. It was mentioned in the writings by a geographer called Diodorus Siculus. And droughts have also been cited as a possible reason for the Romans departing from Hispania. The period between 370 and 630 was said to have been an exceptionally dry period, we're talking hundreds of years, and that it possibly affected the socio-economic situation in the peninsula. It seems like a bit of a stretch. After all, the Roman Empire as a whole was falling apart, but it could easily have added to what was already a complicated situation. More reports. Well, if we get to Al-Andalus, or Muslim Spain, the great caliph of Cordoba, Abderrahman III, also faced a terrible stretch of basically zero precipitation. The year was 941, and the water deposits, known as aljibes, dried up and the fields became cracked, and the ruler ordered the local imams, or priests, so to speak, to pray for 2 months for rain to come. So you can find information in written reports. But in addition to those, there were other ways to get feedback from the past. Praying, now that we've mentioned it, was another clear sign that rain was scant. These prayers were known as rogativas pro pluvia, or prayers for rain. And they tended to be a surefire way to know that the country was suffering from a drought. It's an old technique, most certainly pre-Christian, and even today people will seek an intercession in times of extreme weather. In Spain, things were no different. When there was nothing else that worked, there was intense praying, and out came the local saint or Virgin Mary, and there were processions seeking divine intervention. Maria de la Cabeza, for example, a famous unofficial saint from medieval Madrid, was apparently paraded around Madrid with this aim in mind. Now, the reason why these acts are important to historians is that they were official decisions, and therefore the events were recorded in church books. This is no exaggeration. When the Mining and Geology Institute of Spain tried in 2008 to reconstruct the history of droughts in this country for the last 500 years, the group of researchers went to the registries of the Cathedral of Toledo for help. There they noted all the times that the clergy actually called upon the heavens for a change of fortune in terms of rain, and what they discovered was actually fascinating. first is that there were two major periods of consistently dry weather. One was from 1600 to 1675, and the other was from 1711 to 1775. And they also noticed that their findings coincided with those of three other cities in different parts of Spain, Zamora, Haro, and Zaragoza, where the churches there held special services to essentially supplicate for rain. Considering the length and the harshness of the spells, it would seem that the prayers were rarely answered. Another way we can get sort of information about the weather in an indirect way is through the price of crops. Higher prices generally mean a bad harvest. Studies have been done, for example, on olive oil and wheat, and the scholars would look at the prices for those two products in 1565, and then they noticed there was a sharp increase in the prices in 1566 and 1567 and even in 1568 before going back down again. And that price increase would suggest 3 years of very dry weather. Church tithes, which were basically taxes that the church imposed on locals, where people would have to give a tenth of their production, often decreased dramatically in times of scarcity. So there are reports of this happening in places like Ciudad Real in La Mancha in 1603 and 1604, and again from 1615 to 1617. The actual amount of food coming in was a lot less, and from that information we could infer that that region was suffering from a drought. By the 18th century, scientific methods began to substitute memoirs and other bits of information. Simple instruments as the pluviometers, which simply measures rainfall, provided much more dependable results. Still, it wouldn't be until the second half of the 19th century when more consistent information would come in and we were able to get a better idea of how each year actually went. This is when we've seen that there was a particularly bad drought in 1868 and 1869, for example. And then once we move into the 20th century, this country has witnessed some of the worst in its history. A bad one affected much of the country in 1930, exacerbating the already troubled conditions of the rural population, which was still a large percentage of the population in the country at the time. After the Spanish Civil War, which was 1936 to 1939, the country was slammed with post-war hunger and poverty, made worse by a terrible drought between the years 1944 and 1946. Apparently, it was this drought which really triggered the Franco government to act quickly and increase the country's water supply capacity. In 1950, as we mentioned before, was a dry one. And then going more recently, starting in the 1980s, Spain has endured a number of fairly severe droughts. One of the worst was said to occur between 1982 and 1984, when things got so bad that a red alert was announced for southern Spain. Starting in the 90s, that's when I arrived, another drought struck between 1992 and 1994. I sort of recall that one. Then there was a second one at the end of the decade. This was particularly bad in the south in Andalusia, and there was even talk of evacuating the city of Seville, which is the fourth largest city in the country, for fear that they were going to run out of water. That's how bad it was getting there. And we are talking 20 years ago. A better prevention plan would have helped, and as a result of this near catastrophe, that part of Spain is better prepared. Other droughts have occurred, I think it was 2011 and 2012, was another major drought before the present one. But this is a pretty bad one, and there's, as I said, we're just not sure where this is all going. Now, the effects of these droughts in some ways had more to do with a country that was ill-prepared to confront these dry spells than the actual severity of the climate, at least certain years. So as reservoir capacity has increased and planning has improved, so has the country's ability to endure long periods of little or no precipitation. And that's what I was telling you about before. Another thing to consider is that dry years don't have to affect the entire country at the same time. Throughout history, there have been moments when certain regions have been decimated and others have felt little change. And that is certainly true of the northern third of Spain, which was always less likely to feel the effects of severe drought. Things may get drier, but it was rarely the weather that you would see affecting the rest of the country. But anyway, there has been a definite trend towards skimpiness when it comes to rain over the last few decades. Several reports and studies confirm that since 1981, precipitation has declined in most parts of Spain. The number of rainy days has declined. The amount of snow has also dropped a little. We'll ignore the famous major storm Filomena, which pummeled Madrid last year in 2021. And the temperatures have risen on average by 0.7 degrees Celsius. All of this since 1981. So the fact that Spain is better equipped to handle these changes doesn't take away from the fact that this trend is heading in that direction, and there is no knowing at what point, if at all, it will hit bottom and start to reverse itself. Let's hope that change comes sooner than later. In the meantime, a rogativa pro pluvia, or prayer for rain, from the deity of your choice just might be in order. And that'll be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on a more consistent basis, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.